I'm now on my way back to Kathmandu, but I've been in Gorkha district, about 10 miles or so from the epicenter. Now, I mean, it's clear that damage is very extensive around the epicenter, and particularly just north of the epicenter. And there's obviously a very acute need up there. It is extremely remote, and the problem has been that the problem is very clearly that just no one can get in there. You know, even travelling a few miles is extremely difficult. And overnight, we've had a lot of rain. It's also there've been several aftershocks this during the night, and one this morning at about 6 a.m. So the conditions are pretty precarious and not helpful to what is still an aid operation that is quite slow moving. Now, I was with a kind of advanced party from Save the Children, and they have been able to distribute some material. They are having great difficulty, as most NGOs are, in bringing further relief supplies in because of a range of logistic bottlenecks on the way.
How did you physically get there, Jason? How did you? Were you driving on foot?
To drive up to Gorkha, we drove for. We drove yesterday morning, leaving Kathmandu at around. Half past seven, we got there, we fucked around a bit. So, I mean, it was about 5 or 6 hours driving. The roads are now clear up to a place called Gorkha Bazaar. And Gorkha Bazaar is the district centre. And there, damage is limited. Beyond Gorkha Bazaar, it gets very expensive. I mean, as everywhere, the damage is quite patchy, and you can have a very strange situation with one village that's almost intact and the next one that's been very, very badly damaged. From Gorkha Bazaar, Gorkha Bazaar is the base for the relief activities, for government relief activities and for NGOs. The NGOs are now reaching Gorkha Bazaar and pushing out beyond it. The weather has been a real factor in slowing things down, both by grounding the relatively few helicopters that they have up there, which is the only means of getting relief to people in the far north of the area, above the north of the epicenter towards the Chinese border. But also in preventing road access because of landslides and simply because of the mud. And we found out this morning when we tried to go to one village, drove for an hour out of Gorkha Bazaar, and then had to leave our vehicles, which are, you know, powerful four-wheel drive vehicles, and then walk for another hour or so to a village which had suffered significant damage, as had many other settlements along the route that we took.
Did you see much sign of frustration at the slow pace of aid?
There's a lot of frustration at the government. This is recognised by local officials. I spoke to one local official last night, the chief bureaucrat for Gorkha District, who simply said, look, you know, we're doing our best. We've all been sleeping for 6 hours a night ever since the earthquake struck. We just don't have the resources. We don't have the helicopters. We don't have the supplies here. It's not that we don't want to or we're not trying to. We just don't have what we need, which is, you know, partially true. It's also the case that capabilities of a poor South Asian nation in terms of administration are often quite weak. But on the whole, you're right, there is increasing anger among people. They do feel abandoned by the government. And often, and are increasingly taking the matter into their own hands. So We went to one village where they just received a truckload of rice, which had been sent up by the businessman brother of one of the villagers. And you know, absolutely nothing to do with the government or NGOs at all. In another village, we found similar situations. People basically sorting themselves out. There was one guy we spoke to who walked for 2 days from Kathmandu carrying several kilos of rice for his family. So people, they're not just sitting there passively waiting for someone to come and help them. They're being very active in trying to get stuff themselves.
You talk about the weather hampering the operation. It's only going to get worse, isn't it? The monsoon season starts.
The monsoon will start. I mean, the monsoon in Nepal usually starts toward mid to the end of May. This weather is unseasonal. People are surprised by the weather, it being so rainy, it's staying so cool, cold up high. The villages we were visiting were 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 feet up in the Himalayan foothills, and you know, they are not warm at night. Most of the people we saw were lucky in that their cattle sheds had largely stayed upright, or they were providing some kind of shelter, even if their main houses had fallen down. I've seen over the last few days plenty of people there who don't even have that. So there are a lot of people just out in the open. The weather is... now, for example, it's clear. It's clear and it's hot. Overnight, it was, as I say, rainy, stormy. There was some thunder. So it's patchy, or it's unreliable, and it is definitely another factor in slowing what is a very logistically complicated relief operation.
The death toll now stands at sort of 5,500. The Prime Minister said it could reach 10,000. Do you think he's got it right? Do aid agencies think it'll be about?
Nobody knows, to be honest. I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to climb much higher. I think, you know, we've been speaking to a lot of the chief bureaucrats of the various districts, the worst hit. There are areas, you know, so most villages have been at least acknowledged, or the situation has been, if not assessed, then reports of how many dead have been phoned in or found out. I mean, it will rise, possibly another 1,000 or so. Although what we don't know is what's happened in some smallish areas. Now, I say smallish, I mean, these are still pretty substantial bits of territory. One area right by the Chinese border, in northern Gurkha district, even the local chief administrator said he just has no idea what's happened up there. Just absolutely none. And there are elsewhere, you know, there's some information, there's some reports of 200 people possibly killed by a landslide a couple of days ago, unconfirmed. There's information trickling out. The bureaucrat here in Gurkha said that he thought the death toll would certainly rise, but more by hundreds than by thousands.
You said that it could have been a hell of a lot worse if it hadn't happened at midday on a weekend.
Yeah, I mean, a really key thing is that it happened at noon on a Saturday. So at noon was good because all the rural people were out in the fields. And it also meant that the schools, most of which had been badly damaged, were empty. And otherwise, the death toll could have been, you know, multiples of the already tragic total it's reached.
Just sum it up. What do you think that the kind of key priorities are in the coming days and weeks?
Look, the key priority right now is to stabilise the situation of the homeless. There are still tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of people who are camping without any camping gear. Now, if you imagine what that entails, that entails living on the ruins of your house with nothing. Not even, for some of them, a spoon. Not even a bucket to go and get the get water from maybe a river an hour's walk away. You know, it's that basic. Now, those people need basic survival equipment, a tarpaulin, a blanket, a foam mattress, a bag of rice, some kind of cooking utensils, some kind of lighting fires, and they need medicine if they've got sick people with them, or possibly medevacs, but it's probably too late for many of these. Once they've got those people at least in a position where you don't have to worry about them dying of exposure on a mountainside, then you can work out what you're going to do in terms of reconstruction, where they're going to live, where you're going to move them, if you're going to move them, what else you can get into them. The sanitation situation obviously has to be dealt with very rapidly too. Hygienic elements, you have to prevent disease. These are all the things that over the next, say, week or 10 days, you'd hope would be put in place. It all depends on these various logistic hurdles, whether natural in terms of the weather or man-made in a sense in terms of the congestion at Kathmandu's only international airport can be overcome.
Okay, Jason, thanks very much.